You're listening to another football episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns with Banker Bill.
Ryan, you should get off the internet.
And your guy, Bully Rye.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
That's right, everybody. It's another live football episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns. As always, it's your guy, Bully Rye. And alongside me for all of our football shows is Banker Bill. Bill, what's going on, bud? Belated Merry Christmas. We actually got to spend the holiday together. How's everything going, man?
Good, man. I haven't talked to you in, 2 days? I've been trying to stay alive. But everything's going well for me.
It's been...
That's right, everybody. For some reason, I just put a smile on my face. Here I am to start laughing. It's good stuff.
Well... listen, for those
who figure out, I gotta figure out how to turn the music off, man. Gotta do that.
It's been a rough go at it. As I think I've mentioned it before, I've had this lingering cough for 2 months. Finally went to the doctor, got on some meds, hopefully cleared up the cough. It's throwing me for another loop. Some other stuff going on the back end of some things. Although we had a very Merry Christmas, getting to spend time with some friends and family, some other things that weren't so good that we'll talk about in tonight's Homer's Corner. What we do have going on this week is a lot of football talk, because there, believe it or not, even though it is December 27th, we still have a lot of football to go before both the end of college football season and the NFL. So if you want to join the conversation, whether you're watching live via facebook.com/tapoutsandtouchdowns, on Twitter at tapoutsandtds, or on YouTube, leave a comment wherever it is you're listening and join the conversation with us tonight. So with that being said, let's go ahead and get into some college football talk. College football bowl season week 3 is upon us, which includes the college football playoff semifinals. Before we get into the college football playoff semifinals, Bill, there's a lot of decent games ranked versus ranked right now. We should have Louisville and Southern Cal kicking off in the Holiday Bowl without Caleb Williams for Southern Cal. Any games stand out to you while Volley Polly reminds us, let's hope that Bully's internet doesn't go out tonight.
I was thinking that too. Don't want to be the guy that handles it on my own here as we watch Ryan freeze.
But Bill, any games sort of stand out? Again, a lot of bowl games. We get the Gator Bowl where we get to see in-state Clemson taking on Kentucky. If you're watching live with us, you're seeing some of the games scroll across where we got some ranked versus ranked matchups. What are you looking forward to?
I have a lot of highlights. Yeah.
Let's go. Let's hear it.
Tomorrow it starts off 2:15 p.m. I know there's an earlier game than that. I think we're supposed to take these days off, Ryan. I think we have early games tomorrow starting at noon. So I think we should be taking PTO on Thursday and Friday so we can watch some of these games. But tomorrow at 2:15 p.m., Rutgers at Miami. I talked about this a few weeks ago when we heard what bowl matchups had come out. These are my dad's two favorite teams. I'll be rooting for Rutgers. It is in New York, so hopefully they have a little bit of a home crowd there up there in the Northeast. That is tomorrow. Also, the Alamo Bowl. I like this one. This is one of I was listening to a radio show today, and the guy, I remember it was yesterday, and the guy said, we're finally over the crap bowls. I think it was today. And he said, we're over the crap bowls. Here we get into some of the better bowls. The Alamo Bowl is one of those. They've been playing that one for, I think, 30 years now. That's tomorrow night at 9:15 p.m. That's that Arizona team we talked about, how good they were towards the end of the season in the Pac-12, really having a really good season there in Arizona. And they're at, they're at Oklahoma. They're the road team, technically. Mm-hmm. So that's Arizona at Oklahoma. That's 9:15 tomorrow night. Gator Bowl on Friday. I like that one. That's at noon. I'll have to watch that at work, I guess. That's what's going to happen. That's Clemson and Kentucky. That's a big deal around here. I know you love that game. You're excited to watch Kentucky hopefully beat Clemson. Don't shake your head. Blue. You know what I just said.
Just because I'm wearing blue, everybody's going to, hop on the fact that I'm probably rooting for Kentucky, which I'm sure you are.
I'm sure you are. Cotton Bowl, Friday at 8 p.m. This one I really like. However, you're not going to see some of the better players in this game. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. not going to play, but this is Missouri at Ohio State. Missouri, an upstart SEC team that nobody expected to be as good as they were all season. They are the ninth in the country going into this game. think that one will still be pretty fun. The Peach Bowl, Saturday at noon. Actually, a game we have an opportunity to watch because we don't have to work. For those of you that don't work on Saturdays. Ole Miss at Penn State, that's 11 at 10. Fiesta Bowl on Monday at 1 p.m. That's that Liberty at Oregon matchup. And the one I don't care about watching now. You know what I don't care about watching now? Is the Orange Bowl. Because,
yeah,
you know what, FSU, you guys are sitting. FSU, you shut up. Like, shut up. Like, you whined about not being in a bowl in the college football playoff, and then everybody's going to sit down because, like, go away. Go away. You're hurting your recruiting because you're acting like a bunch of babies. Like, I'm done with it. I don't like FSU. I never did. And it's ridiculous. Yeah. This is stupid. They're Rodemaker, their backup quarterback. I'm going in the portal. Yeah, nobody wants to be on this team anymore. It's terrible. Be quiet.
Yeah. Nicholas McDaniel coming in. Nick, appreciate you joining in. Says Texas A&M, Oklahoma State's going to be a good one. And then Wisconsin LSU is going to be another. I'm not disagreeing with him. You laid out a,
there's a lot laid of out good a stuff.
Bunch of them. Yeah. You mentioned Ole Miss, Penn State, Missouri, Ohio State, Oregon State, Notre Dame. I mean,
there's too many. I didn't want to give them all. There's so many good ones coming up this weekend.
You get NC State, Kansas State. I believe that is Thursday at 5:45. Like you said, PTO should be taken this week, considering all the games. Yeah. I'm still upset that we didn't get Liberty versus Florida State and Georgia versus Oregon, because I think both of those games would have been better matched up, especially with all the guys sitting for Florida State.
I want Florida State to get pummeled. Like, pummeled.
Oh, they're going to get pummeled.
Yeah.
I think Oregon, Georgia would have matched up better, and it would have been a more competitive game than what Georgia's about to do to this Florida State team that nobody wants to play for if they weren't playing in a playoff game. And then Liberty, like, we talked about this. Liberty was undefeated. They finished the season an undefeated conference champion, number 23 in the country. Mm-hmm. But instead of getting the other undefeated team left out of the playoff, they get Oregon, who is just going to run roughshod over this poor Liberty Flames team. Nick McDaniel back in. Oregon ducks by 50. I'm not oh, wow. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Is Bo Nix starting this game?
That's a good question.
I would
question.
Think no. He's going into the draft, so I would think no. So there is a possibility this could be a little bit more competitive.
I mean, listen, it's a Pac-12. They were competing for a Pac-12 title.
Oregon was a good team. Yeah.
I mean, they were the only team that really gave Washington a hard time, and Washington still beat them in both matchups. Yeah. So I feel bad for Liberty for that reason. Again, I still think you would have gotten better games with Liberty and Florida State. One of them could have claimed to be the uncrowned national champion a la UCF a few years ago.
Right.
And then Georgia, Oregon could have given us an actual game that would have been worth watching. Nick McDaniel, Bo Nix, Stevie Nix, it doesn't matter. Oregon by 50. I'm with you. I love that. That's a good call. Yeah. To wrap up the college football bowl game weekend, we're finally here. The college football playoff semifinals start Monday, New Year's Day, January 1st, 5:00 Eastern time kickoff. The Sugar Bowl, I'm sorry, the Rose Bowl featuring number one Michigan, number four Alabama. We're going to pick these games in our podcast pick'em this week with no guest picker. Bill, what do you expect to see out of this game? You expect to see it be competitive, or do you think Michigan might run away with this thing here?
Michigan might run away with this thing, huh?
I mean, nobody's been able to beat Michigan. Alabama looked beatable a few times this year. There were a lot of people that were upset that Alabama made the playoff. A lot of people upset that there was SEC and Alabama bias by the committee that put mm-hmm. Alabama in after winning the SEC championship. Listen, I was on record many times on this show saying that not only would Bill Belichick be out of New England, but Nick Saban would be out from Alabama after this year. Now Alabama is going to be playing for a shot at a national championship here. So I don't know. It's kind of why I posed the question, because a lot of people didn't think Alabama was good enough to be here, primarily because of their loss to Texas earlier in the year.
Who's also in the college football playoff?
Yeah, who's also in the college football playoff? Yeah. I mean, do you expect a competitive game here? Or do you see one of the teams running away?
I actually do. The Alabama loss to Texas was close until a big touchdown late in the game. I mean, it was 27-24, and then Texas put up 7 points, and Jalen Milroe didn't have his best game. Fine. Jalen Milroe, that was his worst game of the season. In every other game he's played better. And he played fantastic against Georgia. Had 2 touchdowns and no picks. Against Texas, it was the only game he threw more than one interception. So I mean, that loss might be a little bit of an aberration for the Alabama team. I think this game's going to be really competitive. Michigan seems to struggle against quality teams. They didn't blow out Ohio State. They didn't blow out Penn State. And they played pretty bad teams in the Big Ten. I mean, I'm a fan of Rutgers. They beat on Rutgers. They killed Michigan State. Michigan State's terrible. And they beat Iowa that doesn't have an offense. They beat them 26-10. So, yeah, I think this is going to be pretty competitive. I think Alabama still has a ton of athletes on that team. And it's whether or not Jalen Milroe can play some good football. And he seems to do that other than that one Texas game.
And I believe Milroe was benched for the next game.
He was. They struggled without him. Yeah, yeah.
And then they put him back in. A couple of comments coming in. Nick back in the chat. Alabama's too strong on D. Offensive troubles. But Michigan will struggle with the SEC depth. Mama Frick in the house. What's going on, Mama? And Volley Polly says his wife is from Michigan. So he's going to roll with the Wolverines. Let's go to the next game here. The Sugar Bowl, Monday, January 1st, 8:45 kickoff. Number 2 Washington at number 3 Texas, but they're the visiting team against number 3 Texas, which doesn't make sense. They should be hosting. I would assume they're going to be the home team in this game. Bill, preseason, I took Utah to win the Pac-12, but as the season went along, I liked Washington. I believe I picked them to beat Oregon both times that we picked those games on this show.
Right.
What do you expect to see from Washington and Texas in your second night game of the doubleheader on New Year's Eve? On New Year's Day.
How good is Oregon? That's what I want to know, because that was the only team. I mean, granted, Washington did struggle with Oregon State as well. That was a really close game. I think it finished 21-19. I don't think that was a blowout. But how good was Oregon? If Oregon's a really, really good team, then Washington's a really, really good team. I'm not sure I really expected them to win the Pac-12 title. That Pac-12 title game, I thought maybe Oregon would pull that one out, and I was a little bit surprised that Washington beat Oregon for a second time. Tough to do. I have no idea what to expect out of this game. How good is Washington? We just don't know how good that Pac-12 is. We're going to find out. I mean, Texas is a pretty good team, but I'm not sure they're the best match. You know what I mean? Like, they're not – they were just kind of on the fringes till the last weekend when, the games kind of got a little bit wild, and you had Florida State get knocked out because of the Jordan Travis situation. I think Washington – I don't know, man. I think Washington's a pretty good team, but we're gonna find out. I mean, Texas can play really good football. They have a really good quarterback. So I think both are going to be really competitive. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm a little bit concerned with the winner of this game, what's going to happen to them when they play the winner of the other game. I think the two best teams are the 1 and 4. And I'm afraid we're going to see a little bit of what we saw last season with TCU getting through and then just getting smashed in the championship game.
I'm with you. Yeah, Nick back in the chat saying the high-scoring affair, the over-under is around 65. And he's got one more thing. One thing about a Big 12 defense – is that there is no Big 12 defense.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, Texas lost a bad game to Oklahoma.
Right.
And I say they lost a bad game because Oklahoma turned around and did not do much with the rest of their season after they beat Texas, I believe. Didn't they not get – were they not the team that got blown out by UCF the week after they beat Texas?
Yeah, they didn't get blown out by UCF. They lost to UCF 31-29.
Okay.
But then UCF ended up not being that great of a team, so everybody was really surprised by that. Going down the stretch, and then that's where they beat UCF. That's not what happened. They beat UCF 31-29.
UCF beat Oklahoma
State. It was a close
State.
Game. Yes, what? Correct.
Yeah. Oklahoma and then got blown out by UCF. That's what happened.
Right. And then Oklahoma lost to Kansas and Oklahoma State. That was a close game, but and that was it for Oklahoma. We all thought Oklahoma maybe was a title contender at that point with Dylan Gabriel as their quarterback, but they faltered down the stretch. So, yeah, that Texas game is not a good look because Oklahoma ended up not looking very good a couple weeks later.
Yeah. I'm rooting for Washington in this game. There's multiple reasons why I'm not a fan of Texas right now. Not necessarily because, anything personal about Texas. I kind of want to see them not win. I still feel like they aren't one of the best 4 teams in the country. I think that, honestly, I think Georgia is better than Texas. I think Ohio
they
State
squeaked
might be better
by
than
some
Texas.
Teams late, Ryan. That was kind of the thing is they beat Kansas State by 3. They beat TCU by 3. They beat Iowa State by 10. Those were later games later in the season. They just weren't really convinced. I mean, a lot of teams have that. Washington's got the same thing. Oregon State by two, you know, Oregon by three each time. You know what I mean? Those very close games. Those are really good teams, though. You know, Texas was beating mediocre teams, and it was close.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch. I mean, that's why you play the game. You know, you play to win the game, and that's why we tune in. Games aren't won on paper. Speaking of games not being won on paper, let's go to the NFL Week 16 recap. It is the third to last week of the season that we just got to witness on Christmas weekend. And this is where I turned my hat around.
Detroit Lions. Oh, look at this. Get
Detroit Lions rocking the new Christmas hoodie. The Detroit Lions beat the Minnesota Vikings. Kind of a crazy game. There were some moments where Minnesota had an opportunity to take a lead. They had opportunities to make this even more of a game. Detroit missed on two turnovers. One that Minnesota would score the next play, and the other would still eventually turn into the game-winning interception for the Detroit Lions. But with that win over the Vikings, the Detroit Lions win their first division title in 30 years. To put that in perspective, the team that I grew up rooting for, the Carolina Panthers, were not a team. They were not in existence. They did not exist the last time the Detroit Lions won a division title. There will be a home playoff game in the Motor City at Ford Field. Before I let you kind of chime in on that, Nick says the Big 12, Pac-12 playoff scares me. And maybe another championship like last year. Absolutely a blowout. I'm right there with you. Bill, thoughts on my Detroit Lions hosting a home playoff game this year?
Congratulations. That's fantastic. I mean, it's I know it's tough being a Detroit Lions fan, obviously. What was their last championship, 1961 or something like that? It's been ages since the Lions have done anything. Like you said, they haven't won a division in 30 years, and back then it wasn't even the division they're in right now, Ryan.
That was NFC Central.
NFC Central, yeah. So that's kind of a big deal. Good for them. Very happy. But I feel like we still don't really know who they are yet. We don't. They've kind of tried to find their identity all season long. Are they a running team? Are they a passing team? At times they do both. You know, it's and sometimes they play good defense and sometimes they don't. So I don't know really what we're going to see. You guys have a test coming up this week. I know that you're already a division champion. Seeding is not done. And I would really like to see them go down in Dallas and give Dallas another L on their record. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, listen, we currently sit at the 3 seed. We're going to talk about the Niners in a minute, but the Eagles sit at the 2 seed. They're obviously very beatable.
Yep.
The Niners look beatable after last week, so it'll be interesting to see how the NFC playoff picture winds up over the next 2 weeks. Volley probably chiming in. How old was I when the Lions won a division? I was 6 years old.
now we know how old you are.
Yep. Nick McDaniel, Dan Campbell is a dog. I agree. Matt, we're getting there. The Finns, Matt Buck in the chat, the Finns clinching too. That was the next up on the list. Let's go through the rest of the chat and we'll get there. As a Cowboys fan, Nick McDaniel says the hell with the Dolphins.
Ow.
And then hey. Matt Buck says the Seahawks could clinch soon too, which is another fun, you know, storyline to look for. So let's get into the next topic here. I mentioned the Lions won the division. But the Dolphins clinched a playoff berth, knocking off probably the best team they played this year, the best win that they have this year, knocking off the Dallas Cowboys. I believe it was on Christmas Eve. Bill, it's your Dolphins, man. Are y'all going to be able to go out? I went on the Cat Cave earlier this week and said that my hot take was that the Patriots were going to beat the Bills this week. And if they do, that means, I believe, that will secure the AFC East. For the Miami Dolphins, Bill, y'all going to pull it off and win the AFC East? Are you nervous about, you know, having to maybe possibly go on the road with the Bills making a comeback here?
23 years, Ryan. 23 years of failure by the Miami Dolphins. Are they going to win the AFC East? I have no idea. They haven't won it since 2008. They obviously have a shot at it. We're still two games ahead of the Buffalo Bills, but we have the toughest test of the season coming up this week, and then we have to play the Buffalo Bills head-to-head in Miami, thank goodness. But still, that's going to be a tough game. Buffalo's obviously got their wheels are turning now. Didn't have a great game the other night, though. That wasn't a great game by Buffalo playing the Chargers with Easton Stick as the quarterback. You know, I don't know who keeps saying. I think it's our buddy Eric that keeps saying he should be a baseball player, obviously.
He was born to be a baseball
player. Low-hanging fruit there. But we'll see, man. I couldn't be any happier that we're in the position that we're in right now. Already clinched a playoff berth. We get to play in the playoffs. I could see at least one extra week in a football, but I would really like to see that happen in Miami. So yeah, I hope they clinch a division title. I don't know about New England this weekend. If it comes down to the Buffalo game, so be it. You know, that kind of thing. But wouldn't it be really cool if Miami could shock the world to beat the Ravens this weekend?
Yeah, let's go back to the comments here. Jonathan Battaglia. I haven't seen your name in a while, man. I hope everything's going well with you. He said, let's go Lions and any team that goes up against Dallas. Nick McDaniel said that Miami's head coach is McLovin.
You hire coaches and you get excited about coaches and things like that. When they hired him, I was like, who the heck is this guy? Like, where'd they find – like, what rock did they find this guy under? And he was the running game coordinator for – like, he wasn't really even the offensive coordinator for, you know, San Francisco. It was like, well, that's kind of a Shanahan thing, and he just does that, which – but holy cow, man. Like, I have not seen anything like this guy before in coaching, period. The nerdiness that this guy is and the fact that it motivates his players, that he just loves them so much because he's so impressed that they're in the NFL. That's like what I get – that's the feeling I get about that team. I don't know, man. I can't believe that our owner and the guys that, you know, our general manager and stuff hired this guy and just seem to have gotten it right. This is his second playoff berth in two seasons, in his only two seasons. So, I mean, love the guy. McLovin or whatever. Love him.
All right. Let's look at some other Christmas action from Christmas weekend.
Christmas action.
Some Christmas
football. I opened presents. That was some Christmas action, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's some the Raiders opened a nice Christmas present.
Yes, they did.
The Raiders, I don't think the final score was a blowout, but they dominated this game against the Kansas City Chiefs on the road.
Yeah.
Bill, impressive. Did the Raiders expose the Chiefs? I know the Chiefs aren't as good as they have been a lot. I mean, they're 9-6. They're going to win the AFC West. However, mathematically, the Raiders could still win the AFC West, which is crazy to think about.
With a terrible quarterback.
What's wrong with the Chiefs?
They just had, I mean, there's the lack of weapons on that team. You had one of them get hurt in this game. Pacheco is one of their only, you know, decent, you know, consistent offensive weapons, along with Travis Kelce, who also had a bad game. And they just don't have any threats at wide receiver. I mean, Rashee Rice has had a pretty nice season as a rookie, but I mean, he's a rookie. You shut him down, and what else do they have? You know, Marcus Scantling, not that good. They're not playing, what's his name, the guy from the Giants anymore, because he drops the ball every game, the ex-Florida Gator. I can't think of his name right now. Kadarius Toney. They're not playing him anymore. They picked up, I'm bad with names, I guess, tonight, the guy from the Jets, Mecole Hardman, that they'd had.
Mecole Hardman came
in. Yeah, they had in previous seasons. He's not really doing anything. They just don't have any weapons. It's just, you can't expect Mahomes to create miracles every single season. And you get rid of your other weapons, you get rid of Tyreek Hill, you trade him for a first-round draft pick, you turn that into Legarius Sneed. Sneed's a really good corner, but now you can't play offense. So, I don't know. I feel like in Miami, I've seen the last two seasons what weapons really do for a quarterback with Tua Tagovailoa, being able to do the things that he's doing. And you see a guy like Mahomes, who everybody thinks can just beat the world with no matter who's running routes. Obviously, that's not true, and they just can't play offense right now.
Well, we got a couple of theories in the chat. Both Nick McDaniel and Volleyball, I think, that Taylor Swift has cursed the Chiefs. That she's been too much of a distraction. Listen, I'm not going to disagree with that.
I'm not sure about that. I don't know. I mean, Travis Kelce, obviously, he was one of my fantasy flops this year because of where he would be drafted in your league. But I'm not sure it's Taylor Swift's flop. Come on. It's a little ridiculous. These are grown men.
I think he's still the number one scoring tight end, but
number two.
Yeah.
Number two. Well, probably number one. He probably took it over, but he was number two going into last week. But Hockenson, yeah, obviously out for the season.
Interesting to see what's going on with the Chiefs after they get beat up on by the Raiders, who, for all intents and purposes, need to do the right thing and hire their interim coach.
They
Every time we talked to Eric.
4-3. 4-3 in a 7.
I can't say his name off the top of my head, but dude has got the team motivated.
Yeah,
and they are playing inspired football. They were left for dead. They've got a rookie quarterback taken over for somebody who both of us thought was going to be a good quarterback this year, in Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right. Didn't complete a pass beyond the first quarter in that game. Explain to me how you lose to the Kansas City Chiefs without completing a pass in the final three quarters.
I know what you meant to say. How do you lose to the Raiders when their quarterback doesn't complete a pass for the
I'm sorry, yeah, lose to the Raiders. Sorry. Yeah, how you beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Sorry, yeah, without completing a pass. That's amazing. That's just great defense.
Outstanding job by the Raiders. Talk about another outstanding job. The Ravens go on the road and play San Francisco on Christmas night, and they blow out the Niners, which we're getting to fantasy football talk later in the show. But leave it for Brock Purdy to have his career worst day this weekend.
Do you know what he scored?
What's that?
Do you know what he scored? He's on your team, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like, I stopped watching because I knew
you know
I knew
he scored in fantasy, wrecked my game.
Like -2 points?
No, he actually scored points.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it was – I'd be surprised if it was more than
2.4.
Yeah. four or five receptions.
Have it on that day.
They benched him that game. The Ravens just beat up on the Niners. We asked the question, who's the number one seed in the AFC? And we were basically anointing the San Francisco 49ers, the NFC champions, on last week's show. Does this game change your mind about either of these teams? Are the Ravens the team to beat in the NFL, not just the AFC? And are the Niners, did the Ravens give us the formula on what to do to the Niners in order to create havoc and to force Brock Purdy to make those catastrophic mistakes that make them beatable?
I'm going to go, okay, you asked me like four questions there.
I know I did. I expect you to answer them one by one in sequential order.
You know that after 1 week, I'm not a person that will just write a team off. I don't like, you know, there's a scheme that happens, you know, you play a certain way and they play a certain way. And if they clash and yours doesn't work, you have to adjust. And then it took the Niners way too long to do that. Obviously, when Darnold came in, Brock Purdy was throwing the other team a lot, right? Sam Darnold came in the game and actually made plays. So it was available. There were things going right for Sam Darnold. Obviously, at that point, it was garbage time, and the Ravens weren't playing super hard to try to, you know, stop him because it was already over. I'm not going to write the Niners off. They've been beating on teams all season long, and up until that game, which shocked all of us, you'll agree, that we thought they were the best team in football. They were heads and shoulders above everybody else. They're not that anymore, obviously, because they can be beaten. They got beaten on their own field. On Monday Night Football, which is not something that, you know, you'd like to see happen, especially as badly as they got beaten. What does that mean about the Ravens? Yikes. I mean, yikes. Because if you look at their schedule and their losses, they haven't lost any game by more than a touchdown. The only team that even beat them by a touchdown was the Steelers. You can believe that one or not. 17-10. That's just a matter of stopping Lamar Jackson. And in the other games, they were field goal games. The Browns beat them by 2. Colts beat them by 3. So, and those are, the Browns pretty good team, but the Colts, like, you don't know, right? So, same thing. It's just schemes every once in a while. So, does that mean the Ravens aren't good because the Colts and the Steelers beat them? No. You know, it's that kind of situation. But they look very scary right now. The key, obviously, with the Ravens, and we just talked about one team needing weapons. I don't see a lot of weapons on that Ravens team. I don't. You know, Rashad Bateman, like, Bateman's running around the field dropping balls all over the place. Lamar Jackson's just terrifying right now. He just does it all on his own. Figure out how to stop Lamar. That team comes to a screeching halt. I think that's what happened with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He is Madden 2004 Michael Vick is Lamar Jackson.
He's a joystick out there. He's incredible. Yeah.
You mentioned the Colts. Let's go on to the next topic here. Every single team in the AFC South lost this past weekend. The NFC South catches a really bad rap with every meaning, like, the NFC South is that bad. Somebody will win the NFC South with a losing
record. What happened to Jacksonville? What happened?
What happened to the AFC South?
I don't care. Like, the AFC South has taken multiple injuries. Like, the standings in that division, obviously, they're all 8-7. You know, C.J. Stroud's been out for weeks. They looked really good. They lost Tank Dell. They lost their second receiver. I forget what his name was.
Nico Collins, but he came back last week.
Nico Collins, yeah. But Tank Dell out for the season, and he'd been fantastic as a rookie. But like I said, Stroud's been injured. You got the Colts that don't even have their starting quarterback. They're playing the Stash now, who looks like he's a burly man now.
He's the beard now. Yeah, he's no longer the Stash. He's the beard now.
Everybody loves Gardner Minshew. I've been saying for years Gardner Minshew's not as bad as everybody thinks. There's plenty of starting quarterbacks in there, like Kenny Pickett. Would you rather have Gardner Minshew over Kenny Pickett? Heck yes. I think he's pretty good, but obviously they might have been better. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm gonna say this. They might have been better with Anthony Richardson. Oh, that hurts. Man, that hurts. That's crazy to say, right?
With all the garbage we were talking about, the Colts and Anthony Richardson.
I know,
preseason. I know. It's hard to say that the Colts may have been better with Anthony Richardson.
I know. It's so odd. But I mean, there's been so many injuries. I just can't figure out what the heck happened to Jacksonville. What happened to Jacksonville? Like, they had it figured out.
They've lost four straight.
Yeah.
You've got why can't I say his name? I can't believe I can't say his name. The quarterback from Clemson, Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence has been banged up a lot this year.
He's playing.
Yeah, but he's playing, but he's not. It's sort of what we were talking about earlier in the season with Joe Burrow. He's not the same. They're rushing him out there because they need him to play. You've got Zay Jones has missed multiple games this year, and whenever Zay Jones
is Christian Kirk the cog in the wheel that they're missing now? Was that it?
Yeah. Bottom line is that I think all four of the teams in the AFC South, despite all being 8-7, are all just as bad as the NFC South.
Well, three teams.
Well,
yeah, Tennessee still stinks.
Yeah, who do you have winning this division?
I still think Jacksonville wins the division. They have to. They're the only ones with their starting quarterback.
Pedro wants to know if we think that Trevor Lawrence is playing scared because he's hurt.
I mean,
it's a good question.
It's a fair question. It's not a good question.
It's a fair question. Okay, we'll give you that.
I mean, honestly, is he playing? I would like to say no. I don't think NFL players get scared, you know, but they're just not playing well. I wonder, is it Christian Kirk? Is he that enough of a threat on offense that we kind of underestimated? Because ETN's not playing well. He's on both of my fantasy teams, and he's killed me. So, I mean, it's just the wheels have come off right now, and they have to figure it out.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say we just talked about the fact that they beat the Ravens. I'm going to take the Colts to win the AFC South.
With Minshew?
Gardner Minshew.
That would be insane.
Jonathan Taylor. Michael Pittman. I don't know if he's going to come back this season after he took that bad concussion a couple weeks ago. But if you get Michael Pittman back, I think the Colts might be the team to beat in the AFC South. I don't think they win a playoff game, but I think they win the division. Let's move on to our final topic.
I want to say one thing, Ryan. Go ahead. We talked about, and I forget, his name was Chris something. I feel like it's the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts. Yeah. We went from, he's going to get fired in 3 years, to he might be the GM of the year. I mean, it's ridiculous what he's been able to do. He even traded their middle linebacker that was a Pro Bowler 2 years ago?
Darius Leonard. Middle of the
season, or cut them.
Yeah. I mean, it's wild what they're doing in Indianapolis right now. And I think, I honestly think they have the best shot to win that division because, like you said, the wheels have come off in Jacksonville. Tennessee's not that good. And without C.J. Stroud, Houston, I don't think has a chance to win that division. Let's get our final NFL topic before we take a break and go in our podcast pick'ems here. It was announced earlier today that the Denver Broncos have benched Russell Wilson. He took a sack in this game last weekend against the Patriots, and you see the offensive line kind of look down at him and walk away. Now, there's rumors that part of it is financial because there's a guaranteed stipulation in Russell Wilson's contract that if he gets catastrophically injured, then the Broncos are on the hook for a ton of money.
$40 million a year.
And he is guaranteed $39 million next year. So they're going to be starting Jarrett Stidham for the first time this weekend. Russell Wilson has more than likely seen his last days as a Denver Bronco. Bill, I know you're a Russell fan, pulling for Seattle for so many years. Do you think this is the right move, or do you think this is a little premature and you know, Sean Payton has given up about as quick as he got hired over here in Denver?
It's definitely a white flag. I don't know why, but it's them. They're done with the season. Jarrett Stidham's not going to get them any wins. He didn't do anything when he was up in New England. Couldn't get it on the field, obviously. I think he even had chances when there were injuries and whatnot. I think Jarrett Stidham actually kind of played a little bit, and it was just terrible. So they're not going to do anything with him. Russell Wilson's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL this season. He just is. His rating is 7th in the league. And they're doing this because they're planning on trading him.
Or cutting him. I don't think anybody's going to trade for him with the money that he's owed. They're going to cut him.
Yeah. Cut him. You've got tons of dead space, dead cap. And if you're able to trade him, I think they only have to pay for the 1 year. If you cut him, it's two.
Matt Buck says that I can't put it on the show on the screen because it's a little profane. Broncos should have been Wilson a long time ago. Listen, the Bills cut Ryan Fitzpatrick after they signed him to a monster extension. I think that they can get off the hook for some of the money if they cut him. There's always a deadline in March that the NFL teams have to make before they cut a player. So, they're still on the hook for a ton of money. But if they cut him before a certain date, I think they're going to save themselves some money. Nobody is trading for this Russell Wilson.
What Russell Wilson?
The Russell Wilson that plays for the Denver Broncos.
Why? I don't understand it. Everybody wants to scapegoat Russell Wilson. You call me a Russell Wilson fan, and it's not that I wasn't a Russell Wilson fan. I've seen him play very good football. I mean, he's got a fantastic career passer rating. And this year, he's not been terrible. He's just not. Everybody wants to call him terrible. He just hasn't been. And I don't understand it. They're scapegoating him, and I don't understand it.
We'll speculate for a second. Where do you think he winds up next year? Because he's not going to be a Bronco. Where does he wind up?
I don't know. I mean, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. That sounds like, I think that's just about what Lamar has, and they're calling for him to be the MVP. I don't understand it.
I'll throw a couple teams at you, see what you say.
Sure.
The Raiders.
They're better with Russell Wilson.
The Falcons.
Oh, my gosh. They almost win the Super Bowl with Russell Wilson.
The New York Giants.
Don't talk to me about that.
Why not?
You think they're pretty good? They're pretty good, because then my dad will be mad at me, like, "Why'd you give me Russ if he messes up?" I mean, I don't understand it, Ryan. Russell Wilson has about 400 yards less rushing than Lamar Jackson, right? And I think he's about 600 yards less passing than Lamar Jackson. His passer rating is better. He has almost as many touchdowns, and I believe he has fewer, about the same amount of interceptions. Now, a lot of yards less, right? But that's not a bad quarterback. He's more efficient than Lamar Jackson has been this year. I don't understand it. I just don't get it. But, yeah.
Pedro says that Russ can cook almost anywhere.
I mean, he really can, especially if you put him in the right system. And I don't want to hear anybody ever say to me that anybody's a system quarterback. I never want to hear that ever again.
That's
so dumb to say.
I'm going to throw two more teams at you. The Arizona Cardinals.
They've got a Russell Wilson, the mini version.
Yeah, but I mean, Kyler Murray believes at the end of his contract.
Yeah, I don't want to see him go there. I'm not sure how good that team is. It's not terrible, but I think that would be tough for him, because that's a pretty bad team as it is. The Giants are interesting because they're a pretty good team. I think with some quarterback play, we saw Tyrod Taylor almost bring them back and beat the Eagles this week. If he had played from the beginning of that game, he probably doesn't throw that interception at the end. They might beat the Eagles this week. That's a pretty good team.
The New England Patriots.
No, don't go there, man. Don't even do that to me. I can't. I'd root for his legs to be broken. No, I'm kidding. That's terrible. I would never want injuries on anybody. But
if they don't let go of Belichick, he's got one more year. I mean, he could always wind up in Pittsburgh too. But
think anybody's going to trade for him. Nobody's going to try to take on that contract unless they think that he's going to be the guy that he was 5 years ago.
He will be claimed by somebody. He's not going to be traded because nobody wants to take that contract on. But it'll be interesting to see where Russell Wilson winds up. It's not like a Colin Kaepernick situation.
No.
Where he's being blackballed out of the NFL, even though that could be argued that Kaepernick didn't either. But interesting to see what happens with Russell Wilson going into 2024. Bill, we're going to take our first break.
Wait, I got one more for you. I want to ask you an NFL question. Sure. How do you feel about what's happening in Cleveland right now and the prospects of Cleveland moving through the playoffs with that defense and the old man that they've found to play quarterback?
Joe Flacco, if you go back to the premiere episode of this very show, they'll call it the pilot, if you will. I went on a 20-minute rant about how bad Joe Flacco was, okay? I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Okay.
Check that. I don't think he's a nice guy, because after he won a Super Bowl with the Ravens, he crippled that franchise for the better part of a decade because he got paid and they couldn't pay anybody else. And so the Ravens suffered as a result. Now, obviously, he got called up off of his couch because nobody wanted him.
He's chasing that bag, Ryan.
Well, he's chasing the bag now. Well, he was chasing the bag back then, but now he's just trying to prove to people that he's a good quarterback. Listen, kudos to the Browns for having two guys that were really good quarterbacks at one time in the NFL on their roster, and Deshaun Watson and Joe Flacco. I don't think Joe Flacco is going to win a playoff game with the Browns. I think the Browns make the playoffs with Joe Flacco. I think they get in over the Steelers. But at the end of the day, it's Joe Flacco. You're not going to be able to repeat the playoff run that he had with the Ravens.
117 passer rating.
I don't care. I don't care. It's not what he's doing is not sustainable, and it's not going to happen.
Joe Flacco's been in the league for 4 games.
Yep.
Over the last 4 games, Joe Flacco leads the league in passing yards, and he's tied for touchdowns, leading touchdowns over the last 4 games.
Well, it doesn't hurt when you've got a wide receiver and Amari Cooper breaking a franchise record.
Oh, wow. Amari Cooper, who nobody wanted a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, listen, kudos to the Browns. They're doing something pretty amazing right now.
I can't believe you said that out loud.
I know.
You know what's terrible? Their coach is going to take Dan Campbell's Coach of the Year award.
No, there's no, he's not.
Absolutely he is.
No, you don't say that.
Absolutely he is.
No, I'm telling you right now.
Especially if they get into the playoffs and they win, say, 11 games.
I think it's been something like 50 or 60 years since the Lions and the Browns have both finished with a winning season and or in the playoffs in the same year. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Real quick, before we go to break, if you're watching the show live on YouTube or Facebook, which is where it seems everybody is tonight, make sure you leave a comment and join the conversation, because we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to do podcast pick'ems. We're going to pick your college football semifinal, college football playoff semifinals. And we got 3 NFL games to pick before we close out the show with some fantasy football talk leading into your championship game weekend. Again, leave a comment wherever you're watching, join the conversation, and stay tuned, because we'll be right back right here on Tap House and Touchdowns.
This episode is brought to you by Carolina Business Equipment. With offices in Charleston, Greenville, Columbia, and Florence, Carolina Business Equipment can supply your copiers, computers, and printers anywhere in the state of South Carolina. Call my personal best friend Aaron Thompson at 843-452-8761 for a quote today, and make sure you tell him that Ryan from Tap House and Touchdowns sent you. Carolina Business Equipment. You worry about your business, let us handle your technology.
Welcome back to Tap Outs and Touchdowns. Your guy, Bully Rye, and Banker Bill here with you to talk some more football picks. And spoiler alert, if you didn't listen to the show last week, Bill and I, despite the fact that I was not on the show for the majority of pick'ems, Bill and I both went 4-1. If you recall last week, I had internet connectivity issues, or what does Chris Pratt say? It says you have connectivity issues, and that's what I had last week. But Bill and I both went 4-1. Unfortunately, Michael Davis of the Cat Cave, among other projects, went 1-4.
Wow!
So that brings your season standings. Baker Bill still in the lead at 53-32-1. Your guy 49-36-1, and guest pickers are 47-41-1. And we don't have a guest picker.
The pickers had a huge lead on us. Huge. And they have tanked.
Yeah, let's call out some pickers. You still got Big Tex and Lapino are the only 2 5-0 pickers on the season. You've got Matt Buck went 4-0-1. That was the one game that all of us tied. And then you had Aaron Thompson, Aaron, who we just talked about in our last ad read. He picked 3 times in his 11-4 against us on the year. You have Shannon Smith made a couple picks, 5-5, but then towards down the stretch, Tim went 2-3, Volley Polly went 2-3, Desmond Johnson went 2-3, Andy 2-6, Tyler 1-4, PJ Steven and Michael Davis all at 1-4. So down the stretch, our guest pickers did not have a great cheating. Now we get a cheating the pickers out. Is it because we didn't have a picker this week? Listen.
Yeah, we couldn't. Yeah.
It's a long story.
I tried to get my daughter. I mean, she has nothing to live up to. Like, the last 5 guys have been awful anyway. So I just said, why don't you come do it? She's like, yeah, I don't think so.
This would have been the perfect time for Shauna, your wife, to do it too.
I don't think that's happening. I can't get her to show up in the Facebook, she's not, yeah.
Yeah, Volley Polly says that it sounds like Michael Davis picked like he did in the fantasy league. That's a shot taken. Shots fired. All right, let's go ahead and get into our picks so that we can get into fantasy football and give you guys the rest of your Wednesday night Oh, hey, look. Shona's
in here. Hey, there she is. Right. Look at that.
And she's then actually here. I think Pedro's in for the Fantasy League next year. So good to know. We'll keep that in mind going into next season. We're going to have to make some adjustments, and we'll talk about it. We'll talk about why in the final segment of the show. Let's get to some picks here. The college football playoff kicks off Monday with your semifinal game. 5 o'clock, the Rose Bowl, Alabama versus number one Michigan. Michigan, a 1.5-point favorite. So this is basically your pick 'em here. Bill, I'll let you start us off here. Who you got, Alabama or Michigan?
I hate this game. I don't want to pick this game. I was actually mad at you for making us pick these games because they're just so difficult. I looked through both their records. Alabama scares the crap out of me. They're so good. I think that Texas game is a little bit of a fluke just because it was so close throughout the game. They've gotten much better down the stretch. Michigan, unfortunately, they just beat on everyone. I think overall they have the confidence. I'm just going to go Michigan. Go blue. I can't, and I don't want Alabama to win, so that maybe that's part of it. I'm scared of this one.
All right, Pedro. Pedro says, toll ride. I'm sure he
made that drive. I can't do it.
Michigan does not cover a classic Saban. Listen, I had it written down that I was going to take Michigan. I said all year that Michigan was your odds-on favorite to win the college football playoff. I'm sure my friend Amy Lynn Wickman would not be happy with me if I took Michigan, as she is a Michigan State fan and alum, as is her dad.
That's rough.
So listen, Eric Yant's in the chat. Hey, Eric. Says Alabama by 10.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to take Alabama. I
don't want to talk to you. Don't say that.
I asked earlier if you thought Michigan might blow out Alabama, sort of kind of trying to see where you kind of felt about this game. I think Alabama, the way that they fought back just to get back in the college football playoff, they dominated that game against Georgia. I mean, that game, the score was close, but that game was not close. Georgia had an opportunity to come back and win that game, and they could not finish it out. Alabama's right now the best team in the country.
Stop it.
I'm taking Alabama to win this game.
You know what? Do you know why that I don't think Alabama's going to win? Because I hate
them. Because you hate
them. I don't want it to happen, man.
Just because you hate them, you're manifesting them losing this
game. I'm manifesting this one. I'm just doing it. I can't pick them. I agree with everything you said. I did not want to pick. I just don't want to pick Alabama. I'm not doing it.
All right, let's go to the next game.
I'm so far ahead of you, Ryan, that I will take the loss on this one. I'll be wrong on this one.
I got an itch on the side of my head that I don't know if you can see or not. All right, next up, you got the 8:15 game, the Sugar Bowl, Texas taking on Washington. I'll go ahead and start us off here. I've been saying it all year that Washington is better than anybody gave him credit for. I think Washington not only – I can't believe Texas is a 4.5-point favorite in this game. Give me Washington. Everybody's been doubting them all season, and I think they do it again. Give me the Huskies of Washington to take this game and to go on and play for the national championship. Bill, he got Texas against Washington.
You know, I feel like this was another one where I couldn't really decide, and I'll tell you how I ended up picking the team that I ended up picking. I think Oregon is a better team than Texas. If I wanted to play a team tomorrow and I wanted to make sure that I could beat them, if I'm the Washington Huskies, that team is Texas. I don't want to play Oregon again. I think Oregon's better. So I think Washington beats Texas for that reason. I think Oregon is a better team than Texas.
All right, let's go. So both of us are taking Washington. We got a couple of chats here. Pedro, I hate Bama too, but they are good at making me frown.
Same.
Eric Yance, wide receivers are the difference in this game. Washington and overtime.
Adunze. I love that Adunze guy. I cannot wait to see him on Sundays. That guy can play.
Volley Polly says, hook him, go in Texas. And Pedro, my heart wants Michigan versus Washington. I think Everybody wants Michigan.
I'm with you on that, Washington. Pedro.
Hey, look who's in the chat. The person that doesn't want to come and make picks with us. Katie in here. She said T. All right. Yeah. Soleil. Katie's in the chat. All right. Let's go over to the NFL. We talked about this game earlier. It puts the pick in. I can't even do it. I can't even do a straight face.
Told you I would get you that one.
You got me good. Yeah, oh, man. Yeah. All right. Saturday, 8:15 kickoff. The Detroit Lions, the NFC North champion, Detroit Lions at the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are a 6-point home favorite. Bill, I'm going to let you start us off here. You got Lions at Cowboys.
The security guard at work, he's an old guy, sits at a desk down in the lobby of the building that I go to at work. And I see him this morning. Named Tom. Say, hey, Tom, how you doing? He goes, hey, Bill, what do you think that line is on that Cowboys-Lions game? And I said, Cowboys at home, right? He said, yeah. I said, give me 2. I said, Cowboys by 2. He said, it's by 6. I said, you got to be kidding me. I think it's crazy. What are you talking about? The Cowboys coming off two losses in a row now? Absolute beatdown by the Bills and then a terrible game, but Miami really kind of dominated that game. And then Dak made some plays down the stretch, got them back in the game, got them the lead. And then Miami just went down the field and put up the field goal they needed to put up. And then the Lions, man, division champs. They're riding high. It's time for them to go for that one seed, and I can't believe it. So give me the Lions and the points, man. That's crazy to me that they would give them 6.
Yeah, I think Katie thinks that this is too big of a spread because she says that 6-point deficit is a deep hole.
Yeah, I agree. That is a lot to overcome in one game, 100%.
All right. Volley Polly says give them Detroit and they went outright. And now my mom and your daughter are going back and forth in the chat.
Yeah.
Eric says Cowboys win 27-24, but he's taking the Lions not to cover. Listen, the Lions are riding high off of their first division win in 30 years. We talked about this a lot on the show. I'm struggling with whether or not they're going to have this hangover where they're not looking at this game. But at the same time, they're now playing for seeding. Because with the way that the 49ers looked last week, the way that the Eagles looked over the last 3 or so weeks, the Lions could very easily be fighting for a shot at the 1 seed, or at the very least the 2 seed, where they hold their own destiny heading into an NFC championship game. The Cowboys, like you said, they're coming off a 2-game losing streak to the Bills and then to the Miami Dolphins on Christmas Eve. They're going to be playing motivated football because they have the NFC East in the palm of their hands, and they're letting it slip away. I think this is going to be a dogfight. I think that you're going to see the Cowboys and Lions go up and down the field. I wish I knew what the over-under was in this game because I would take the over, but I'm with you. I think 6 points, even if the Lions lose this game, I don't think they get blown out on the road. Give me the Lions to cover the spread. I'm not going to say that they're going to win outright, but I like the Lions to cover the 6-point spread, albeit on the road, as your first, I believe it's your first division winner in the NFL. Am I right by saying that, Bill? They were the first team to clinch a division, or was that the 49ers that won the NFC West?
I think the 49ers had it first.
Okay.
I think that's
nevertheless. Good. No.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Let's see, Pedro. Let's go Lions. It says Cowboys are undefeated at home, but 1-4 against 8-win teams. Ooh, I like that stat, Pedro. I really do. Let's go on to the next game here. Sunday, 1:00 kickoff on New Year's Eve. There's another one of the big games out of the AFC this weekend. The Miami Dolphins, your Miami Dolphins, at the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are a 3.5-point home favorite, looking very scary after that win over the Niners. I don't know how else to put this. I'll start us off here. I think the Dolphins cover this spread. The Dolphins are fighting for seeding too. They're in the playoffs, but they haven't secured the AFC East yet. Meanwhile, the Ravens are still sitting in the number one seed. I don't think anybody comes from behind to take on the Ravens. Even if this game goes the way of the Baltimore Ravens, I don't think they cover this 3.5-point spread. I think the Dolphins are just too explosive on offense. Despite the lower scoring game against the Dolphins last week, or against the Cowboys last week, I think the Dolphins are still right there. Achan continues to get healthier every week as every week goes by. Raheem Mostert is playing out of his mind. When you have both of those guys playing in the backfield, playing well, it's hard to guard both of them or cover both of them, as I should say. And then when you've got Tyreek Hill on the outside, I don't know the status of Jalen Waddle after last week's game. Give me the Dolphins to cover this, even without Jalen Waddle. Bill, what say you? What are your Dolphins going to do this weekend?
He's not necessarily out, though, Ryan. They actually said it's a really mild high ankle sprain. I don't know how you have a mild high ankle sprain, but yeah.
Listen.
You know I'm a huge Dolphins fan. The Ravens scared the crap out of me this weekend. I can't believe they were able to go into Santa Clara and beat the 49ers. Lamar's playing out of his mind. I know what I would like to see happen. I think there is a way to beat the Ravens, and I think Miami is capable of it. But I think that Cowboys game was exhausting. Like, I think that was a physical, real football game. Miami showed that they can play physical football, but they played physical football last week. It's so tough to get up again from that game. And 3.5 is just not a ton, man. I feel like the Ravens actually cover this.
All right. I actually had you written down for that as well. Eric says Baltimore's defense is the difference, 31-20 Ravens. And Pedro says fins up. He's
Miami's defense is better than the Baltimore defense, but I just don't.
They're at Baltimore, and Baltimore's known to get that home cooking.
Statistically, the Dolphins are the better team. Record-wise, they're not. Statistically, they are. They have a better offense. They have better defense. But I just feel like, you know, when you're playing in Baltimore, if this was in Miami, I'd probably pick the Dolphins. But I think that it's in Baltimore late in the season, I think it's really tough.
All right, let's go to our last game that we're going to pick this week. This could very well decide the NFC South as the Saints travel to Tampa Bay to take on the Bucs. The Bucs, after dismantling the Jacksonville Jaguars this past weekend, are a 3-point home favorite. Bill, I'm going to start us off here as well. Give me the Bucs early in the season.
It actually dropped to 2.5, Ryan.
And it dropped to 2.5?
Yeah.
Let me see if I can fix this on the fly here. The Bucs.
Sorry, I know you try to go with the most up to date.
Listen, it happened today. All right, so it's not like it's, you know, I'm too far off.
Yeah,
but the Bucs, preseason I had the Saints winning this division. The way that Baker Mayfield has looked for Tampa Bay, I'm sure it would make our friend Travis very happy because he's a big Baker Mayfield fan.
Yeah,
but Tampa Bay just, I don't know what it is. Out of the terrible dumpster fire division that is the NFC South, the Bucs seem to be the best team out of it, and I got them winning at home here this weekend. Bill, what say you? Saints at Bucs, 2.5 point spread here for your home team Bucs.
I think that if you looked at the Buccaneers, you know, a month ago, you'd have gotten, well, they're not even going to get close to the playoffs. They're going to get close to the division, and they've reeled off 4 wins in a row, and some of these were against pretty good teams. I mean, they were at the Falcons that they're battling for the division. They were at the Packers, who are, you know, decent team this season. And then they just beat the Jaguars. They pummeled the Jaguars this week, who, you know, were still leading the division at the time. And like you said, Baker Mayfield playing out of his mind right now. He's hot, and I think he continues to be hot. I don't think the Saints are consistent enough to go into Tampa Bay and beat the Buccaneers at this point. So, you know, give me the Bucs. I'm shocked that I feel like we're going to watch the Bucs win this division.
Yeah, it's great, because especially considering everybody left him for dead.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady retires. And
it's crazy. They're 4-7. They're 4-7.
And all they do is come back with Baker Mayfield, who, again, everybody left for dead.
Yep.
And he's had a borderline Pro Bowl season this year, thanks to another 1,000-yard receiving season out of Mike Evans. So it'll be a fun game of football to watch going into New Year's Eve. Bill, we're going to take our final break. We come back. You and I did not have a good fantasy football weekend. And while most players...
Wait. Half and half. Half and half.
Half and half. Well, we'll talk about that and more. We are headed into the fantasy football championships for most of you, and we're going to talk all about that over the next few minutes when we come back right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.
Established in 2008, One Stop Repairs in North Charleston, South Carolina is your one-stop shop for all of your electronic repair needs. Specializing in cell phones, tablets, computers, laptops, and game consoles, One Stop Repairs offers reputable and quality service with the quickest turnaround time and the most competitive prices in the Lowcountry. You can find them on Google with an exceptional 4.9 star rating, or on Facebook by searching for One Stop Repairs. Call for a quote today at 843-343-6310. That's the number one, One Stop Repairs.
All right, we are back for the final segment of this 2023 year, Bill. That's hard to believe. This is the final show of 2023. Your guy, Billy Rye, Banker Bill, and we're going to talk some fantasy football. Let's start off here. This is championship weekend for many of you that are watching this show that play fantasy football. Not so much for a lot of the people that haven't been paying attention to the show and listening to our advice, like Pedro. He got eliminated from his league. McCaffrey, it was a fun year nevertheless. Listen, Bill, I don't know how to go into this. What does it mean to you to make a fantasy football championship in any league, much less a high paying league?
It means it's difficult, right? Everybody's working for the same goal. And when you are able to, I guess, get lucky enough to make the final game, you feel like you put a really good roster together. You feel like, sometimes your roster is unbeatable. I felt like that in both of my leagues. And I only made one championship game. I got beat last week in the Tap Outs and Touchdowns League. But yeah, so to make that final game feels great. But it's just like making it to the Super Bowl and not winning it. Like, you're that close. Now you got to, you really have to win this week. I really want to win this week and win a league. But it means a lot. I haven't played fantasy football a ton. I guess this was the first season I played in a long, long time. I actually am a fantasy baseball player. but this is actually, it's been really fun. I'm definitely going to play again next year. I've had more fun with it this year.
Yeah, listen, a fantasy football championship can be the highlight of one's entire year. To be able to go back to that group of people that you play with.
Yeah.
And hoist the trophy, hold the title over your shoulder, whatever it is. It's just something about saying, you know what? I'm the best nerd when it comes to football.
I like that.
So all of you can suck it collectively.
Wow.
And figuratively and literally, because your guy is the champion of our fantasy football league. Unfortunately, as my voice cracks, unfortunately, I will not be able to say that in any of the leagues that I played in this year. Let's start off.
I think you meant our Tap Outs and Touchdowns League. Yeah.
Not specifically. Yeah. So I mentioned last week that Banker Bill and I both had the opportunity to advance to play each other for the Tap Outs and Touchdowns Fantasy League Championship. Bill lost 122 to 117, a respectable loss, but a loss nonetheless. Unfortunately for me, with a 2-point output from Brock Purdy, a 6-point output from Jalen Waddle, and a 4-point output from Devin Achan, your guy went down to that damn Ravens guy, 126 to 99.
Mm.
So the championship game is set. Daniel Pope taking on Sean Selig for the Tap Outs and Touchdowns Fantasy League Championship. You and I are playing for the third place game, and there's no money involved in that.
No money.
Not that there's any money involved anyway.
No.
But I just want to be able to say that I finished ahead of you in the league. And then, like I said, I was eliminated by 5 points in my main fantasy league the week prior. I lost that game as well. The consolation playoff game I lost as well. And then my work league, I came nowhere even close to it. I haven't even looked at it, to be completely honest, because it's just, whatever reason, I don't know how to draft in that league. I don't get it. But I had great running backs and no receivers, and that ended up killing me.
Can I give you a little story about one of my leagues this year, Ryan?
Please do, because I want to know how the fantasy playoffs are looking in the other leagues.
Okay, so I have one other league that I'm playing in. It's actually Daniel Pope's league. He's playing in our league, and he's in the championship game. But I was playing in that league, and I was in the semifinal. I was playing a friend of mine, and I needed Jalen Hurts to play well in both of my leagues, right? He didn't do well. He did not have a very good Sunday. Or was it Monday? Was it Monday that he was playing? I think it was the Christmas game. Yeah, he was on Christmas. He was the late Monday game. But he didn't have a great game. And they were playing the Giants. And he had enough of a game to put me in the lead. I think it was 82 to 80, approximately. Mm-hmm. And I was also playing the Philadelphia defense against Danny DeVito. I know his name is Tommy. Whatever. He didn't have the game he was looking for.
So yeah, he got benched in that game.
So exactly. Might as well have been Danny. Well, they bring in Tyrod Taylor, and as soon as I saw Tyrod Taylor, I went, oh, no. Because I know he's a better quarterback than DeVito is, right? So there's a play late in that game where Tyrod Taylor hits Slayton on a bomb, and the Giants score to go down. Now it's a close game. Now I think it's an 8-point game. At that moment, I had been up by 2 points. That bomb caused me to be down by two, right? So then the Eagles are just going to give the ball to Swift, right? So it's, Hurts is doing nothing. That's the only chance I have. Giants get the ball back. And I actually message the guy and I say, congratulations, good game, man. I can't believe I lost it on a touchdown late in the game, right? Tyrod Taylor takes the Giants all the way back down, trying to tie up the game. Last play of the game, no time left on the clock. He throws a pick. I won the game by 0.02.
Wow.
It was I think 80.44 to 80.42.
Those games are heartbreakers for the losers.
Play of the game. It was the last play that any of our players could play that game. It was a pick. I get the 2 points. I was sitting in a chair. I came flying off the chair like the Dolphins just kicked a winning field goal in the Super Bowl. I was like, yeah, you know, just screaming. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
My wife's looking at me like, what's going on? Why are you yelling?
You mind your business, woman. I'm kidding.
Yeah. I'm in the title game.
I mean, I can tell you my favorite story because I know we're running late, but who cares? It's our show. My favorite championship story is the first ever title that I've ever won in fantasy football. I joined a league with my old boss at Piggly Wiggly. Shout out to Mike Rawl. A lot of the things that I say to this day regarding, a lot of the funny sayings that I say about, I can't even say any of them off the top of my head. I don't play no games. I quit school because of recess. That's from Mike Rawl. But he invited me to play this Piggly Wiggly fantasy football league. And we went to Hooters for our fantasy draft.
Good choice.
I can't remember if it was 19 or 20, but it was the second or third year I'd ever played fantasy football. And it was the first time that I was playing for a prize. And it was the year after LaDainian Tomlinson had broken the touchdowns and the season record. And I had the number one overall pick. So everybody was expecting me to take LaDainian Tomlinson, one number one overall, and I didn't. This is before I became a Lions fan. I took Adrian Peterson, running back from the Minnesota Vikings. Number one overall, LaDainian Tomlinson went to. And it was a Yahoo league without waivers. So if somebody played on Monday Night Football and they were available, you could pick them up. No problem. No questions asked. Matt Forte, I believe it was his rookie year with the Chicago Bears, had an incredible Monday Night Football game. So I said, oh, I can get him, snag them, pick them up. Fast forward to the championship game. I'm down. We're on Monday Night Football. I believe the Bears were playing the Packers. And I needed, 0.8 points for Matt Forte to win my championship game. The game goes to overtime. In overtime, the Bears get the ball. Matt Forte runs for 4 yards. Then he loses 2 on the next carry. And then he catches a screen pass on third down, gets the first down, and I win my first fantasy football championship. And I have never stopped playing ever since. Matter of fact, I believe 2 years later was the inaugural Papa Fricks Fantasy League that I've been running consistently every single year since then. So when you get that high of winning a fantasy football championship, it just doesn't go away. You fish for that feeling. You want that feeling to come back.
That ultimate nerd feeling.
It is. That it is. Listen, we're not going to get into it this week, but next week we are going to give out fantasy football MVPs. It's not like we can give out one per position because there are some players that were surprising for us in a good way and bad way. We talked about our disappointments last week. Next week, we are going to get into our surprisingly good players and our most valuable players in fantasy football from 2023. And before we get to Homer's Corner, let's see if we have any more. Oh, Andy came in for the end of the show. What's up, bud?
What's up, Andy?
And so, yeah, without further ado, let's get into our favorite segment of the show, my favorite segment of the show, and that's Homer's Corner. And there's not really, you know, we're at the end of 2023. We've had a lot to talk about. A lot of football has been played. A lot of other things have happened. Bill, I want to take this opportunity to sort of give thanks on another year. Because unfortunately, over the last couple of weeks, some families very close to me have lost some loved ones. Myself included, I lost my Uncle Roby the Tuesday before Christmas. My good friend Brandon Hinton lost his father, Alan Hinton, on Christmas Eve. And then Aaron Thompson lost an uncle on Christmas Day. And so it's supposed to be one of the most wonderful times of the year. It's magical, exciting, and happy. Family functions and all this sort of things. And sometimes we forget about the fact that the holiday season doesn't always bring happiness to everybody. And maybe this is a time that not only do you give thanks for being here, you give thanks to the people that you have around you, and you cherish those moments. You tell your friends, you tell your family that you love them anytime you get the chance, because unfortunately we don't always get the opportunity to do so Whether it's, and we don't get to choose the time when you know, Father Time, you know, our good Lord comes calling. So with that being said, I want to make sure that I give thanks to everybody who has been a part of this show, everybody who is a part of my life, and thank the good Lord for giving me another year on this earth to be able to spend time with everybody that he puts in front of me. Bill, I don't know if you want to piggyback on anything to that, but I'll give you the floor in case there's anything that you want to add to that.
That goes for me double. No, that's Christmas with the Cranks. Sorry where he says, but you talked about wanting to say that before the show. And I said, yeah, take up the time, for the Homer's Corner situation. I agree with all that. And like you said, it can be a tough time of year. It can be a great time of year. And I also appreciate everything. I appreciate you. I appreciate you having me on the show every week, man. I have a blast, and I really do enjoy it. So I appreciate everything that you do for me. I appreciate you hanging out on, with you and your mom, coming over for Christmas Eve and everything. It was fantastic. So like you said, people do go through a lot during this time of year. And like, so very happy, very thankful for another year on the big planet that we're on.
That's yes. Again, sentiment shared by both of us. Listen, I don't know the next wrestling show we're going to have, but Wrestle Kingdom is right around the corner. PJ, Steven, and I will be watching Wrestling Kingdom and covering it on this show. Make sure you go over to the Tobacco Road Sports Radio's YouTube channel or the Keep Pounding Podcast Network, wherever it is that you get your podcast, to catch all episodes of the Cat Cave featuring your guy, Billy Rye, alongside Michael Davis and Shannon Smith, where we talk all things Carolina Panthers after the Panthers almost came back and won another game this weekend, but unfortunately fell short by just one single second. So make sure you go and catch that show. And again, weekly, Baker Bill and your guy, Billy Rye, will be here talking about football. We've still got two more weeks of the regular season in the NFL, and then we got playoff football to get to. So plenty more to talk about as we approach the XFL, or what's it called, the UFL season that Bill doesn't want to cover. We'll talk about that later on.
I'm mad. Shout out. I'm mad. I'm very upset. I've lost all my teams that I like.
Well, shout out to everybody who was a part of the show this week, everyone that gave us likes on social media, everyone who joined the comments, Pedro, Andy, Eric, your daughter Katie, your wife Shauna. Let's see, who else am I missing here? Volley, Polly. Nick McDaniel has spent some time in the show tonight. Matt Buck, Jonathan Battaglia. Great to see an old friend in the chat watching the show. Thanks, everybody who is part of the show. Make sure, if you haven't already, you like and subscribe to the show on YouTube. You follow the show on Facebook.com/TapOutsAndTouchdowns. And you give us a follow over on Twitter/X at TapOutsAndTDs. For Baker Bill, it's your guy, Billy Rye. And we will see you next week, right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns. Happy New Year, everybody.